has no fear. And pure love for God and man casteth out all fear. And this is the reason, brothers and sisters, I testify to you, I have perfect peace of mind. Perfect peace of mind. And you too, many of you have it. And if you don't, you can. For this thing will you already know, so the world that was then overflowed by water and soul perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by this same word is kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But love, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, I read that, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, whereunto the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, I'm not too sure, but I'm suggesting that when this happens, and it will happen, that it will be a result of the wickedness of men as they use atomic weapons. Certainly will melt with fervent heat. God can rain down fire from heaven, but he don't need to. We're going to do it for him. The wicked, whom this earth has been reserved unto the day of judgment, will do it. But it won't be God's fault. It'll be a result of disobedience to the law. And that's why we're here today, that we might understand the law. That we might build within us a comprehension of what it would do to us if we would fail to be obedient to the law. And that we might develop within us a desire to obey the law. And truly, conscientiously, willingly dedicate our lives to the service of men and women. I believe that true happiness can be found only in one thing: service to people. It was King Benjamin who made this great outstanding remark: "Know ye not when you are in the service of your fellow man, you're in the service of God." That applies to husband and wife. There is no happiness in the marital condition for one in their selfishness requires from the other obedience or total service. But when your outlook is so beautiful in accord and in harmony with the law of Christ that you are so concerned with the welfare of another human being, be it your wife, your sweetheart, your brother, your sister, or dishumanity, and apply that concern to action, is the only road. To true happiness. I'm not going to say that I have been a man of service all my life, but what little understanding I've had of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what little attempt I've made to be obedient to it, has brought me all the happiness I've ever had in all my life down to this moment. And that's my testimony. And I lie not. There's only truth in that statement falling from my lips. And I'm being astonished in the peace of mind that I have been able to retain under these conditions I have. when I'm in the right mind and I'm thinking and clicking, I must confess that it is the power of God who has given me this peace of mind. And that is one of the payoffs, shall we put it that way, of the gospel of Jesus Christ while we're in this life. Well, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I've said it lots of times. And I mean it with all my heart. And there's only one reason for it, and I think you understand that. I have been and am now one of the happiest men that walks this earth. I believe it. And if I believe it, it doesn't make any difference whether you do or not. For it brings me happiness. Brings me joy. And I know I am positive from whence comes this happiness. And I'm not going to say to you it's because of my perfection. Oh, in His mercy. In His mercy. In long suffering to the children of men. Gives them every opportunity to be obedient. And when we err, upon one occasion, we'll put it this way. I was preaching in Yucatan, in a little jungle village. And down there, they humor a drunk man. And he can come into a service or anything, and nobody will throw him out. But they just consider his condition, and they try to be nice to him. And I was preaching, and it just happened to be when he came in and sat down, right in the front, looking at me, and I was just a short way from him. I read the scripture about the drunkenness and such like shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, he jumped up. He wasn't drunk enough, but what he understood that. He didn't understand me, but it was interpreted in his tongue. And he left. And I said to the audience, through my interpreter, I'm very sorry that our brother felt he had to leave because of that scripture I just read. Had he stayed, my next scripture was, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be washed as white as snow. What a God we have. When a human being can go contrary to the law and deliberately violate these things, this sacred law, and then when he comes to a fuller realization of what he's done in the spirit of a broken heart, and a contrite spirit, there's a merciful God who will forgive all. And the slate is clean, and he can start anew. Were it not for that master of men with that compassion, oh, I hate to say, where would be? He loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin. But he is willing, when we approach in the proper manner, to grant us forgiveness in his mercy. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Seeing then that you know these things, these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We read on. I see time is running out. I haven't moved very far with my notes. We'll try to rapidly increase in our delivery. So when we contemplate the condition of the world and upon the things that are soon to come, we feel a sense of fear. This is natural. But the scripture holds the promise that we can be at peace. We can have the peace of God in our hearts, which passes all understanding. I like to read from Paul, or the words of Paul, in the Philippian letter, a few words of this master apostle who was called of God in a miraculous way. Any call of God, true call of God, is miraculous because it comes through numerous witnesses. Those of you who have been properly called to the ministry know this. And you yourself have received by that power from on high your own personal witness. And should we not receive that personal witness, I would advise to be very slow in your accepting, because I believe with all my heart that God will give us that information if it be a true goal. I believe that. But in the Philippian letter here, in the 4th chapter, in the 4th to 7th verse, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise. Well, we want to keep this in mind as we read some disturbing scriptures, that it is possible, you see, to have the peace of God in our hearts, and which passes all understanding. So in this, I would like to turn to Zephaniah. And I want to turn to the first chapter of Zephaniah. And in here, in the first chapter of Zephaniah, I want to read a couple of verses, then skip to the 7th and 8th, and then to the 14th and 18th, and then in the 2nd chapter, the 1st and 3rd. But here we will read. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi. So I'm not going to read any more of that because this is mention of genealogy. I will utterly consume. Here's what the word said to Habakkuk. I will utterly consume all things from off the land. That's not a beautiful picture, is it? I will utterly consume all things from off the face of the land. That just kind of describes what will happen to us in atomic warfare, in my opinion. And so we're going to blame some evil nation for destroying us. But I wonder what evil in our nation might have caused, or might be the cause in the future, of such an attack. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And you notice it mentions the stumbling block. I'm not going to go into it or read it. But in the Book of Mormon, and I could look at, I've got it here somewhere, but I'm not going to even look at it. It mentions that the stumbling blocks for the Gentile is the fact that he had built up too many churches. That coincides with the story of Joseph Smith as he went into the woods to pray, and two personages appeared to him. And one said of the other, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And then when the question was asked of Jesus Christ, if this was, and I believe it is, no question in my mind who it was, what church he should join. The statement was, join none, for their creeds are an abomination in my sight. Now I say that a creed that is an abomination is anything taught that is contrary to the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that applies to the Church of Christ. If we teach anything that is contrary to the law, it's a creed, and it's an abomination to God. So we're not exempt from coming under the law if we're guilty. That's the point I want to raise, bring up. God did not say that the people who taught the creed were an abomination. No, he loved those people, and he loves them yet, and he loves them still. And he'll continue to love them. But he is in hopes that through some of the ministry, they will be touched with the truth. But it's an odd thing about religions. We kind of put each other down. And I do not want to run down any church. But I do want to say that I stand against what I consider a creed of man being taught as religion and as being taught as the doctrine of Christ. I will not fight against flesh and blood, but I will fight against principalities and powers as long as I draw breath, as I see it. And I think that's the duty. Not to run the man down or his religion, but if he teaches those things that are contrary to the law, point it up. And even then, if circumstances should run into such a condition that people will not listen, we are advised to just wipe the dust of our feet, dust off our feet, and go on our way. Again, it is not necessary to stand and argue the point and just beat our heads against the wall to convince somebody we're right and you're wrong. Kind of forget who I was reading. Well, let's see. Zephaniah. Now, I read to the second. I will consume man, I will consume fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, thus saith the Lord. And that's not all the stumbling blocks, but one of the great stumbling blocks for the Gentile in particular, and it so states in the Scripture, against the Gentile. One of his great stumbling blocks is that he's just got too many churches. And the reason of it being a stumbling block is because many teach for doctrine the commandments of man and the creeds of men. And that is what is abominable, not the individual. Over here in the 7th and the 8th verses, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared his sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes of the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Or we can go to Revelation, the 19th chapter, the 5th and 9th verse. We find out the righteousness of the saints is the apparel that we should wear. But those have strange apparel. In other words, if we teach doctrine of men, if we have creeds for the gospel of Christ instead of the gospel of Christ, we're wearing strange apparel. Now I'd like to go down to the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, and read 14 to 18. The great day of the Lord is near at hand. Is near. It is near, and it hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, not very nice, not very pleasant to look forward to, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds thick darkness, and day of the trumpet, and day of alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I'm going to suggest to you that there's no place on earth that, figuratively speaking, has been more fenced and protected than the United States and the high towers of the government. But there's going to be a day, a dark day, against the fenced cities and against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver, their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. It's not a pretty picture. But you know there's a silver lining to this thing. And I might not get through it. I'm going to pass up an awful lot. I'm going to try to wind this up. I'm going to pass up lots of scripture. I'm going to pass up some scriptures here. But I'd like to turn to Zephaniah now, the second chapter. And I want to see what we'll read here. The second chapter and the third verse. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought this his judgment, and seek righteousness. Those people who have brought it on, we're all a little guilty of bringing on the dreadful day of the Lord. And so it says, seek the Lord, all these kind of a people. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There's the answer. Seek the Lord. It may be if you seek and find and be obedient to what you find, it may be, what does it say? Hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Well, let's just overlook an awful lot of things. It would take numerous sermons to really round it out. A sermon like this is called a shotgun sermon with a splatter barrel, not a choke. And it covers a wide pattern. And you can't really do justice to it. A wide pattern sometimes misses some of the target. And so I would like to read in the Book of Commandments, which is modern revelation. Some people don't believe in that. But God is being the same yesterday, today, and forever, without variable or shadow of turning. If he could reveal in days gone by, I do not limit his power to reveal to men today. And if we do, we're making a bad mistake. In page 4, paragraph 3, wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the end of the earth, that all that will hear may hear, prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled. He's looking forward to the same thing I've been telling you about, the day of doom as far as unrighteousness is concerned. And his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles. And I'm not speaking of just the modern day apostles. I'm speaking of the apostles that came down through the years that Christ first brought into being, as he called men from the sea and said, take up your cross and follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. But it applies to the apostles of today. It applies of his called ministry, of all the called ministry. It applies to the lay members. The day cometh that they who will not hear the voice, give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles, shall be cut off. From among the people, for they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. There's a reason for being abandoned to that great and dreadful day. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Oh, let's go on down. I want to miss some poetry for brevity. Let's go down to page 5, at the bottom of the page, in the middle of the first paragraph, which is number 7. What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken, and I excuse not myself. And though the heavens and the earth pass away, my word shall not pass away, but shall be fulfilled, whether by my own voice or by the voice of my servants. It is the same. And I could make a sermon right there by taking you to the 60th chapter of Isaiah. When Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to set the captives free and liberate the captives, and preach deliverance to the captives, and to preach the acceptable day, year of the Lord, so forth. And then we go on over later into Luke, I believe it is, in the 18th chapter. In John, in the great prayer of Christ, in behalf of the apostles in the ministry, he says, as thou hast sent me, so also I send them into the world. For the self same reason. And Christ himself said, when he went into the synagogue to pray upon one occasion, they handed him the book, which was called Isaiah. And he turned to the place where it read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do such and such. And he was quoting word for word what Isaiah had said, I believe, some 900 years previous. But he said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears, this prophecy. In other words, Christ was who Isaiah was speaking of. But that he was anointed and appointed to do, he also appointed his ministry to carry on the self-same work for the soul salvation of men, that men could walk that path of success, which is rugged and many times covered with mists of darkness, and you can't see but one step at a time. But thank God, in the dream he gave to me upon one occasion, I was able to see, and in my dream I took those steps. Just one step at a time, I stepped in safety. But when I did, the mist cleared away, and there was another step that I could see. And that's the way Christ reveals to mankind. He don't show you the whole thing, one great big picture. But if you're willing to take the first step, the second step will be an open vision. It will be open for safety, and you can take it. And you continue those steps until you receive the ultimate goal of success, and upon this dream I'm telling you about, upon this path to eternal life. You know what I saw? I saw a rugged trail that was almost impossible for a human to negotiate. But like I say, when you make one step at a time, it shows you the next one. And there I saw a sign that said the Church of Christ. In other words, that was the name of the trail. That was the road by which men could walk to eternal life. And the ultimate goal of it was above me. It was a peak, a mountain peak. And in my dream, I recognized the fact that that was the success and the peak that all men were searching for. But I was also shown there was many attempts to take another road to get there. For behold and lo, the Lord is God, and the Spirit beareth record, and the record is true, and truth abideth forever. Now, like I say, I'm going to skip. I'm going to get down to some trying to end up. Oh, I'm passing up some scripture that's powerful. Not because I'm reading it, because it was given to holy men as they were moved on by the Spirit of God in days of old, that you and I might know the road to success. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when it dawns on your mind and you comprehend there is a road map to success, there's a road map to eternity that'll guide you to eternal life, and you fail to take it, it's your fault. It's your decision. And you will be held accountable in that great day of judgment. I could read scripture where the righteous shall not suffer. Oh, they'll suffer, but they shall be cared for. And I mean they shall be cared for even in death. There is a scripture in this little book of commandments that states the death of a righteous man is sweet. And I don't care if there's pain connected with it. The knowledge that's in the mind of a man who knows what the future holds and the hope he's had, it'll be sweet. I don't care what the pain is. We're told we must endure to the end. And that don't mean just to endure in pleasantness. That means to endure in adversity. I don't care whether it's pain or ridicule, scoffing of the world, or what it may be. Enduring the gospel of Jesus Christ until the end, and death under any circumstance will be sweet. I'd like to turn to Malachi rapidly. And in Malachi, the third chapter, 13 to 18. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written for him, for them that before him, for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance. This is not idle talk. It's an actuality. There is a book of remembrance written, and every deed and every thought that has been yours to know in life is recorded there. This is not idle talk. It's scriptural. It's recorded there. You haven't done anything in secret that God doesn't know about. You have fooled me. I have fooled you. You have not fooled God. I believe it's referred to as that mask we wear in the sermon today. We wear a mask of righteousness sometimes, and behind it, it is filled with dead men bones because of our evil thoughts, that we try to reflect righteousness. But you know, to a discerning mind, it can read it. These things register in the face of a man, and a discerning person, by the power of God, if it's God's will that he know, will just simply read it by a discerning spirit. Well, in Malachi, let's go on to the 18th. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, we're going to be spared, as we would spare our own son who serves us. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burneth an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be a stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You got anything against that? Are you going to object to the end of time? Are you going to fear the end of the world as we turn it? When we know beyond question this is fact, that at that time for the righteous, those whose name is in the book of remembrance, the Son, the Christ himself, shall reveal himself, and he shall come with healing in his way. Ruth, can you stand it just a few minutes? I know you're tired. I'm going to bring it to a close. The Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And anybody that's been a stockman or a farmer knows how calves grow up in a stall when they're well fed. Now we'll go to Isaiah, the 35th chapter, and the 3rd and the 10th verses. Isaiah, 35th. 35th chapter, the 3rd to the 10th verses. Strengthen ye the weak hand, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be understood. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. Oh, what a prophet. Though we be fools and wayfaring men, if we give our hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ as dedicated men with a determination to walk that road, it shall become, known, for those that wayfaring men, though fools, they shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's gospel. And if you don't recognize it, I believe you do. And if you do, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is yours, persuading your heart to what is true. Now, in closing, I would like to turn to Luke. In Luke, we're turning to the 21st chapter of Luke. My stumbling fingers is costing us valuable time. We're about through stumbling. 21st chapter of Luke, 25 and 28 verses. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and all, and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations, and perplexity, the sea and the way of glory. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Still talking about that great and dreadful day. But the righteous can go through it, as did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, through the fiery furnace. And those who opened the furnace according to the commandment of the king looked in, and those men who looked in were destroyed by the heat. Yet, as they looked in, they testified, we see one walking, and not only three, but the fourth is there, and one has the appearance of the Son of God. And the appearance of the Son of God. The Son of God can walk with you through the fiery furnace. I don't know what you're going to be expecting. Well, you know, some of us are going to see some very bad times. Men's hearts, see, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the way of glory, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking for those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Don't cry. Don't condemn me for preaching a sermon that looks dark in the future. It only looks dark for those who refuse to be obedient. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Why? Because for the righteous the Son of Man comes with healings in his wings. Will you object to that? I'm tickled to death about it. And I'm glad it's coming. And I hope to be prepared. But I'm not too sure. I don't know what my life looks like to God. But I'm in hopes it'll be acceptable. I'm in hopes sure it will be. I was going to read to you about the Church of Christ. And it was stated today, one of the things I wanted to read, that if you remember, this is in the future, and it's true right now, but they will be armed with righteousness. No weapon fashioned by man that will bring us success in battle. You can't win. But the weapons fashioned by God will bring us victoriously through the furnace. Thank you.